I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I'm going to take a trip in a good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I'm going to take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye. When I'm bidding this world goodbye. When I'm bidding this world goodbye.
John chapter number 21 in your Bibles. John chapter number 21. I'll begin in verse number 20, and we'll read responsively down through verse number 22. If you'll join me on verse 21, I'll read verse 20, and then if you'll join me on verse 21, and then I'll finish on verse number 22. Stand with me, please, and we'll read John chapter 21, and I'll begin there on verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him also, Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for coming and dying on the cross. Lord, thank you so much for doing that. Lord, where would we be today if it wasn't for that? Lord, we want to thank you so much for it. Father, we ask that you please be a part of the service tonight, that you speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we put away any distractions, but we pay attention to what you have for us tonight. We love you. Bless the service now. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my Christ shall come. With shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
I enjoyed that. I was going to say he had a tough act to follow with special music tonight, but I think he did okay on that. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. That'd give George Beverly a run for his money. I'll tell you, that was good. Good singing. Thank you so much. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, one-on-one with Jesus. This is not a long message. It's a brief with a little introduction and a couple of points and a little bit of artwork on this thing, if I can get it to work. It's been a long time since I used an opaque projector, but if I can get it to work like I want to, we'll call it a night, okay? So let's pray together. And Father, you are great, and I'm glad that that song was sung. And truly, Lord, I trust that the spotlight really is on you today. We're just blessed to be used, just blessed to be able to be here. And certainly not the only ministry in the Midwest and around the country and in the world that has enjoyed your blessing. We're glad we can have a part of it here. And we're thankful for the opportunity to serve you because you are a great God. And one of these days we will be able to sing in your presence how great thou art. Now help us tonight. Help me, I pray, in these moments. Be a blessing to the church in Jesus' name and amen. Peter began chapter 21 away from the Lord. You remember that? He was on a boat. He'd gone back to commercial fishing, the vocation from which Jesus had called him in the text that we read this morning. And when Jesus said, follow me. And so he'd gone back to that vocation. He was on a boat with an empty net. No fish in the live well. No fish on a stringer. He wasn't properly clothed and his soul was downcast. He was backslidden. He felt like he'd failed the Lord, and he had. And felt like he'd let the Lord down, felt like it was over and done. But by the close of the chapter, Peter is clothed properly. He's sitting by the fire, reaffirming his love for Christ in good fellowship with Jesus. Amen. And called back to fellowship with the Lord because of Christ's great love. And Jesus went after him and brought him back into fellowship. And Jesus asked Peter, in the verses preceding the ones we read here, he asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responded, of course, Lord, yes, I do. I love you. You know that. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Then you get down to verse number 18. Look at it. We didn't read this with Brother Hall. But look what Jesus said here to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Jesus foretold a little bit about Peter's latter years of life in that verse. He said, Peter, in the early years of your life, you had strength to just do what you wanted. Now the days ahead are going to be much more difficult. Look what he said in verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So when he said, now Peter, your years are going to get more difficult the older you get. He said, I want you to follow me. And then verse 20 and 21 there, Peter, he looked over at John. John was the disciple that leaned his head on the Lord's breast at the Last Supper, and the one that's referred to in the Scriptures, the one that Jesus loved. And Peter looked over at John and he said, Lord, what about him? What's he going to do? It's verse 21. What shall this man do? And in verse number 22, Jesus basically said, you know, he may live till I come, or he may not. What is that? To thee. What does it matter what happens to John, Peter? What is that to you? And then he said, follow thou me. If the first follow me wasn't personal enough, Jesus added the pronoun thou. He said, Peter, it doesn't matter what I got planned for John, you follow me. Whether John lives or dies, that doesn't change my will for your life. Peter, you follow me. One-on-one with Jesus. Now, Peter could have asked, what about him? And pointed to Andrew. He could have asked, what about him? And pointed to Philip or Nathaniel or Thomas or Matthew. And I believe he would have received the same answer from Jesus that he gave him when he asked about John. Peter, what I have planned for them does not change what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. You've got a life to live. You've got time to spend left on this planet. It's not going to be easy. But I want you to spend your years following me no matter what happens to anybody else. You follow me. I'd call that 101 with Jesus. Now, I want you to be gracious to me on this special occasion of our church's 44th anniversary. And I want you to grant me a little bit of liberty with this text. But I would like tonight to let Peter represent Faith Baptist Church. And can we hear Jesus saying tonight, Faith Baptist Church, you are not as young as you used to be. And you're not as old as you're going to be. But the key issue is, follow me. Follow me. But Lord, what about other churches? What about what they're doing now and what they will be doing later? And what about them? What my plans are for other churches, and I don't mean to be insensitive to the well-being of other independent Baptist churches. That's not what I'm talking about. But as far as what I want you to do, it doesn't really matter what I want them to do. What I want you to do, Faith Baptist Church, is follow thou me. Follow thou me. Now, folks, I believe for these 44 years, for the most part, Faith Baptist Church has followed Christ. I believe we've tried to. I said this morning in the service that at times we have erred. We've erred in practice. We've erred in spirit. I'm talking about the time under my leadership here these past 23 years. And probably goes back to Brother Starr's years in some ways, and Brother Gray's, and Brother Martin, and Brother Smith. No, none of us can claim perfection. And we've erred in some ways. We've erred probably in spirit and practice in other ways. But I believe Faith Baptist Church has attempted to follow Jesus Christ over these years. Now, I want to draw two analogies here from verses 18 and 19 and then 20 and then 21, okay? And I want to talk about two analogies here. First of all, I want to talk from verses 18 and 19 about cultural America. Cultural America. Now, remember, verse 18 and 19, he said this. He said, Peter, it's been very easy for you in the early years. But the longer you live, it's going to get more difficult. It's going to be more difficult. Now, I want to say, Faith Baptist Church, it hasn't been hard to follow Christ in the early years of this ministry. I'm talking about even up until now. But listen very carefully. It will be a matter of greater dedication in the future. I hope you understand that. I hope we understand that as a church. Okay? In FBC's early years, America was just going into the Cultural Revolution. It was still popular to go to church. It was abortion was murder. Sodomy was in the closet. If you were found out in the military to be a sodomite, you were discharged. You weren't saying, come on in, we'll accept you open arms. No, that's not. Okay. Most retail places were closed on Sunday. The greater percentage of males looked like men and the greater percentage of females looked like women. The Bible was still respected. Contraceptives weren't passed out in school rooms to teenagers. Marriage? Who needed a definition? We understood what marriage was. You know, with the teenagers this week, I was reminded again of the foolishness of this thing of sodomy. The foolishness of it. And we went to see the Sight and Sound play out there on the way back from New York City. We stopped at Lancaster. If you could ever get to Branson, Missouri, or Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and get to one of the Sight and Sound shows, it's worth the time and the money. Your kids will love it. There's a lot of things that they can't look at in this world. This is great. You can do it. We stopped to see Noah. And he told Noah to take two of every creature on the boat male and female. For the purpose of procreation. Coming off the boat. It's nuts. We're absolutely, we're insane. And so marijuana wasn't a legal drug. It was, in fact, marijuana was responsible for a lot of the problems we had in the late 60s and early 70s in this country. But times have changed. And they will continue to change. And where at one time Faith Baptist Church could follow Christ, now listen to this, and really not stick out too much from the norm of society. Now, you cannot follow Christ without sticking out. And I want to say something, folks, don't let that scare you. Okay? The cross of Christ is a reproach. That's what the Word of God says it is. Okay? Now, if you embrace biblical values and biblical morals, you are considered fanatical, a lunatic fringe. And as a right-wing conservative, Bible-believing churchgoer, you are considered a threat to the United States of America. I'm serious. You are dangerous and considered hostile to the American way of life. Now, that's the culture we live in today. This sodomite basketball player came out. And did you see the hubbub in America? Everybody jumping on board saying how wonderful this is. It's a shame. Somebody with one ESPN broadcaster said, quoted the Bible. He didn't quote the Bible. He referred to the Bible and he called it a sin. One. It's a shame that there weren't a bunch of voices saying, that's a shame, that's too bad. Everybody was saying how wonderful it is. And I follow the White Sox, and I've listened to the White Sox on WSCR radio. I listen to them when I'm traveling or something at night, and I listen to a ball game. I enjoy that. But there's a guy on the radio there by the name of Dan Bernstein who went off on right-wing Bible-believing Christians. And he called us a bunch of, he went in a rampage on the radio about us. Who are intolerant. It was amazing how intolerant he was of people he considered intolerant. And I wrote a letter to the management of the station and said, that's it, I'm done. I'm a Cubs fan now. Oh, Lord, help me. No, that's an exaggeration, believe me, okay? I have not listened to I told him, I said, I'm not going to listen to your radio station. Where was management? Why didn't you force the guy to make a public apology? Why didn't you ban him from the radio? Why wasn't he suspended? If anybody had gone off on the radio about somebody else, like he went off about Christians, you'd have had a fit. I have not listened to that radio station since. You say you think it makes any difference to them? Probably not. But it makes a whole lot of difference in this heart right here. A whole lot. I'm just talking about, folks, it hasn't been too difficult to follow Jesus Christ, but for a church, when I say church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the born-again, baptized believers that are the church. For a church to follow Christ in the 21st century, it's going to require some dedication on the part of its people. It's not been too difficult in the early years, Peter, for you to kind of have the strength and the ability to do what you want. I understand he's talking physical, Peter. I understand he's talking about Peter's physical age getting to him and needing help. I understand what he's saying here. You let me spiritualize it a little bit tonight, give me a little liberty to say, Faith Baptist Church, it's been fairly easy through these first several 40-something years, but as time marches on, if Jesus stays in heaven, it's going to require a lot more dedication to be labeled as a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope we can handle it. I hope we can buckle down and handle it. I hope we can, folks, because it's going to require that. It's going to require that in the future. No matter what happens to the culture of the country in which you live, I can hear Jesus say, follow me. If the culture is more biblical or less biblical, follow me. If it's popular or unpopular, follow me. If you're respected or reviled, follow me. Faith Baptist Church, follow me. Make that analogy. Now, let me make this analogy. I want to talk about how it corresponds to the culture of independent Baptist churches. Faith Baptist Church, follow me. Well, Lord, what about this church? Lord, what about that church? What are they going to do? Which direction are they going? What are they going to embrace? What are they going to bring in to their worship services? What about these other churches? What is that to thee? I gave you my commandment, you follow me. That's what I want. Now listen, as I said earlier, we have made some mistakes, but we have tried to follow Christ in doctrine. We've tried to follow Christ in practice, in worship, in outreach, in our church government, in music, in the format of our services, in the preaching of the Word of God. And in the years gone by, in the early years of independent Baptist churches, they all did. Now listen to me. You could take a job in a distant part of the country and find out that there's an independent Baptist church there, and it was pretty safe for you to take your family there and have a Christ-centered ministry. That's not so anymore. It's just not so. Not all independent Baptists are the same. So what do? We follow Christ. Now, people, if we have been following Christ or attempting to in all of these areas, why would we change now? If following Him has brought us to this point in the church ministry 44 years, why would we change now? There's no sense in that. But Pastor, all the other churches, what is that to us? Follow thou me. Now, folks, I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. If we can learn, and if we can improve, and if we can be more productive, and we can do better, and learn from other ministries, and you can, and still follow Christ, so be it. But hey, if some of the change leads us away from following Christ, what is that to us? We need to follow Christ. We need to follow Christ. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Now, I want to show you something here, because I met yesterday with Brother Coral. Came in for the wedding yesterday over in him and his wife and his daughter Christy. They spent the night up here in Manteno, and they were at the wedding yesterday. Rebecca has helped him in the Shooters Expo 3 or 4 years, and he was the coach of the team that Micah was the quarterback for. So he wanted to come to the wedding. So we spent some time together yesterday. He asked if we could meet, and we needed to. We hadn't been together since the conference ended, and we talked about the conference, and based on my response, based on the response that I received from the church here, overwhelmingly, I told him we would have the conference again next year with this stipulation. We would only put into it $10,000. And with the offerings, when the offerings come in, we're going to spend $10,000. When the offering comes in, Brother Coral, I don't know where the rest of it's going to come from. You have to make that up. If you want to have the conference like you've had it here, 22 speakers in 5 days, that's fine. But you make up the money, and he agreed to that. He said, I probably will just try to raise the money myself. I may cut back a few speakers, but we agreed to have the conference here. That's what I got from this church. And if you weren't here, you just don't understand the spirit of the services. You just don't. And you don't know what it did for a bunch of preachers. And I mean that with all my heart. So looking forward, we will do that, but it's only going to be at a certain dollar amount. Now, I want to show you this little thing right here because, you know, what about this? What about that? What about these other churches? What is that to thee? You follow me. Okay. Let's see if this comes clear here. It's a line. Okay. All right. Now let's say right here is independent Baptist in the beginning. What they were, what some still are. Okay? That's our roots, okay? That's our roots about the Bible, that's our roots about soul winning, that's our roots about separation, that's our roots about preaching, that's our roots about the type of ministry that the independent Baptist movement has embraced. That's our roots. It's very difficult to stay completely dead on center. That's very difficult. It's very difficult to stay static. You with me? Okay? Inevitably, every church leans one direction or the other. Okay? So here's a guy, his roots are in old-fashioned fundamentalism, what all independent Baptist churches used to embrace, but he leans a little bit to the left. Now, his roots are good. His roots are strong. But he leans a little bit to the left. Maybe in his music. Maybe in standards. Maybe in that departing from the old-fashioned, in-your-face, confrontational preaching. Maybe it becomes more of a teaching-type ministry, okay? But he just leans a little bit to the left, a little bit to the left of his old-fashioned roots. He's rooted, okay? But everybody that he influences, and any young man that he trains, when he puts his roots down, where's he going to be? So here's another independent Baptist pastor, and his roots are the same as this guy. He leans to the right. Maybe he has a standard that really, you know, if you kind of look at it and go, boy, that's overboard. And his music, that's really, you know, really, it's really, I mean, it's really, really conservative. So maybe he leans a little bit to the right, okay? And then his roots are here. He leans a little bit to the right. He's training and influencing people. And some young man or a group of young men that he trains, they put their roots down, and they're over here. And you say, well, you know what? That is as dangerous as that. No, it's not. Because in time, everybody mellows. Everybody mellows. Everybody does. And if in a few years this guy mellows in his ministry, where is he going to end up? And what happens here is this guy that was trained by this man who leaned a little bit left, well, now he leans a little bit left. And he trains guys, and when they put their roots down, they're here. And this guy trains guys, and he's over here, and he puts his roots down. And you know what? Nobody ever mellows this direction. Everybody always mellows this direction. And folks, before you know it, what you've got is you've got a man influenced by this man influenced by this man influenced by, okay, all the way back here to a man who had his roots in old-fashioned fundamentalism, independent Baptist fundamentalism, but he just kept leaning a little bit to the left. Pretty soon you're going to end up with a place that doesn't even believe the Bible. Doesn't have any convictions about anything. Takes the Baptist off the sign. It just becomes a rock and roll church. Okay? Now look, I'm going to tell you, yeah, okay. We said, well, man, this has the potential to be, you know, really weird. but nobody stays static. And if you're going to slide, you need to be over here when you come back. Does this make sense to y'all? Okay, and I'm going to tell you right now, this may not be popular with everybody, but that's okay. When I got saved, when I started into Christianity, when I started kind of listening to guys preach and hearing things, I graduated from college and I went to work in the sermon under Brother Brown, there were two men who really influenced independent Baptist fundamentalism. Y'all see that? That's Jack Howells and Jerry Falwell. And some people don't know who those folks are. That's fine. And so many of you do. Okay? Those two men influenced independent Baptist fundamentalism. No disrespect, but this is Jerry Falwell. You can't argue that. I'm sorry. You can't argue that. Go pull out their catalog. Go pull out their music. Go pull it out. He came out of Baptist Bible College, folks. Springfield, Missouri. At the time when that college produced some of the greatest preachers and church planners, church builders this country's ever known. Absolutely. That was the happening place. But he leaned to the left. And a lot of it was political. And he leaned to the left. And he leaned to the left. And guys that he trained put their roots down to the left to where he was. I'm going to tell you something today. Go Look at the catalog from the 70s to now. This is what's happened right here. Okay? Some of his own people, some of his own fellow graduates broke with him. Roy Thompson in Cleveland, Ohio, was a well-respected pastor for years and years, and he broke with him, and others did too. And this was Jack Hiles. Now, I know First Baptist Church has had its problems. I understand that. They've had some real problems, okay? And you know, some of you know about that. I believe the man they have up there now is a good guy. I had breakfast a week ago. Well, it was the last Thursday of school year before the elementary chapel. I had breakfast over in Beecher with one of the men who's been there 30-some-odd years. And I had breakfast together and a wonderful conversation. He said, Brother Terry, he said, it's a new place. He said, it's like a breath of fresh air. His eyes filled up with tears. He said, I enjoy going to work now. I enjoy. But with the problems, Jack Hiles leaned to the right. And he influenced guys who put their roots down, in some cases, a little to the right of where he was. But again, folks, you're always mellowing. You're always moving, mellowing. And so this is what I am. And I think this is what many of you are. I embrace the old-fashioned values and so forth of the independent Baptist movement. It's what made this movement tremendous. What's made it influential? Why change it? Why give it up? Okay? So I've got to run around and hang with men who are on this side of this thing. I've got to do that, and I've got to try to lead our church to do that. Because here it is, friend. Follow me. What is that to thee? Follow me. Our purpose is to follow Him. And who better to follow than the Lord Jesus Christ? And for these 44 years, pastors of this church have tried to guide this church in following Christ. That's our mandate, and we should continue to make that our ministry. And I hope there will be a bunch of guys like myself and a bunch of churches like ours who will always try to lean to the right, lean to the right, lean to the... I'm not saying we're always right. I'm saying we lean to the right. You with me? Put ourselves on some kind of pedestal tonight. Leaning to the right. Leaning to the right. And hopefully that's what we want to continue to do in the years to come. And you know what? Some churches are going to go to the left. Okay. What is that to us? We have a mandate. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. If you ever have the opportunity, I said it before, to take your children or yourself and go to the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown in Arlington Cemetery, you should do that. It is one of the most magnificent things you'll ever witness, just as far as the precision and the sharpness. It is absolutely incredible. And when we went to Russia, Brother Jack, you remember that? In Moscow, we saw the changing of the guard at the Kremlin. Oh, it was goofy. I mean, the Russians were trying to imitate the American changing of their art, goose-stepping. Oh, man, it was a mess. But anyway, if you could ever get there and see that in Arlington, you will thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. And that guy is pacing. I think it's 21 steps. Does his about face and paces back 21 steps. Their feet land in the exact same spots every step. Incredible. Back and forth. And then you're standing there, and from the right over here in the building comes the new century. And he's got his commanding officer with him. And they come out there, And they park at this end of the ramp, of the little rubber runway there. And this sentry comes down, and they face each other. And that commanding officer, he inspects them from head to foot. He inspects their uniform, any dust or dirt or lint on their uniform. He inspects the weapon that the new man is carrying. He inspects the weapon that the old sentry's been walking carries. He inspects all that. And I don't have the exact wording for you, but the commanding officer says something like to the sentry coming off duty, the commanding officer says something like, pass on your orders. And the sentry says, orders remain as directed. And the new sentry says, orders acknowledged and accepted. And they swap places, and the new sentry starts his pace back and forth, 21 steps about face, 21 steps about face, 21 steps about face, back and forth. And then when he goes off shift, pass on your orders. Orders remain as directed. And every time they change shifts, orders remain as directed. I've looked through the book. I don't see any change in the orders. I don't see any change in the orders, folks. Stay with the right Bible. Stay with the right soul winning. Stay with the right preaching. Stay with the right spirit. Stay with the right giving. Stay with the right music. Stay with the right outreach. Stay with the right church government. Stay with the right spirit. Orders remain as directed. Why change now? But what about what is that to thee? You follow me. So as long as you want me and as long as God lets me pastor the church, that's my intention. Follow Him. And friend, I hope that you and I can deal with what it's going to mean in the future to follow Christ. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us to follow Your Son, Jesus. I pray that You'll help us to be true to Him. I pray, God, that we will have the right spirit disposition along with the right position. I pray, Lord, that we'll not walk around with our nose up in the air, looking down on anybody, but that we'll keep looking up to the Lord Jesus. And we'll always see how far we have to go to measure up to be like Him. I pray, Lord, You'll help us to be a lighthouse in this community. I pray that we would be willing as a church to pay the price, what it's going to mean to be dedicated to Christ in the future. Stick out as a sore thumb, hated and reviled by a culture that is godless. Help us, Lord, to do our part, to keep as much influence as we can in every area that we can. But Lord, we understand what Your book teaches. And I pray that You'll please give us the grace we need to be identified with You and follow You every step of the way. Be with us tonight. Help our church, help our families, help our young people. I pray that some of the young people sitting in this room tonight would embrace old-time religion, and not be ashamed of it, but embrace it and accept it and live it and practice it and not vary from it. Help us, I pray, please, to be pleasing to You. That's our prayer.